Cheapskates are glad it's free. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that can't be bothered when Garage Squad is on. He only goes to Ace Hardware stores that serve popcorn. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting, thrill-packed episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I don't know what my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, told you, but I am here to tell you that I am Doug Jones. I am your Medicare expert, or some say specialist, and I am here to help you feel comfy cozy about your impending encounter with Medicare. After all, why would you be listening to a Medicare podcast? It's incredible to me that there are so few podcasts about a government program that is so pervasive in American life. Anybody that makes it to age 65 can't stop talking about Medicare, whether or not it's time for them to actually enroll in Medicare. And frankly, age 65 is not the correct time for people who are employed and have creditable coverage through their employer. But that's a conversation for another time. I am happy to tell you that the way that I make people feel good about Medicare is to encourage them to purchase my book. And the newest edition is hot off the presses, and it's stocking the shelves. It's lining the shelves at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. That book is Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020 for the purple numbers, and you will find Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. You may purchase that in the hardcover version, the softcover version, or the Kindle version right now. And soon you'll be able to purchase it at BarnesandNoble.com, and you'll be able to purchase the everything but the Audible version. I have to actually sit down and record that, and it's hopefully going to be done before we know it. But that involves a lot of, electronic goofing around. And frankly, I'm not privy to all the steps involved, and it always takes longer than I want it to. Someday, the Audible version will be available for your enjoyment. In the meantime, go to BarnesandNoble.com or to Amazon.com and put in the search window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. When you see those purple numbers, you'll know that you've arrived at the right item. So, I will join you in enjoying that book. Let me know if there's anything in it that confuses you, and I will help you understand it. So we have a visitor in the studio today. His name is Randy Carson. You may not have heard of him if you haven't checked in with our podcast before, but he's part of this whole operation that makes the podcast work perfectly. And I like to reward him whenever I can in the cheapest way possible. So Randy, kudos to you.
Well, thanks, Doug. I appreciate it. You know, there is one other thing. You could squeeze a sample book out for me.
Oh boy. I knew that was coming. What do you think? I'm made of money. Are you kidding?
Oh man, I'm telling you. Okay. If it's not in the budget right now, I'll check back in with you next week.
Well, I'm sure that I'll manage to, maybe I can find my kid's piggy bank and I'll do something to make sure that you've got a book, because you've got to take a photograph of the book for our website.
I do.
We are going to get to work on that website. Some of it is my responsibility and some of it is Randy's responsibility. So sooner or later, we're going to have a brand spanking new, squeaky clean website for your enjoyment.
And I'm going to write all the content. Doug's going to code it.
That sounds wonderful. Or we could switch hats. Maybe do the opposite.
Yeah.
Is it opposite day?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And I know this is the point in the podcast where Randy usually kicks me in the butt and says, let's get to work. And so I'm going to beat him to it and kick myself
in the
butt.
I'm going to be nice. As the nominal producer, Mr. Jones.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's move forward into the money-making stuff.
Yeah. You know, once we got advertising, Randy started taking this whole thing a lot more seriously, and I'm with him all the way there. Last episode, some of us may remember, we were talking about Alzheimer's and age-related memory changes. And I don't know why, but some of that has floated to the surface here. I'm wondering if the content coordinator, the content curator, is trying to tell me something. But let me finish up with the curation that she compiled for us and see if there's anything interesting here. Alzheimer's versus age-related memory changes. As you get older, your body goes through a lot of changes, and that includes your brain. It may take longer to learn new things, and a little forgetfulness can have you searching for your reading glasses more often. Not if you buy about 10 pairs and scatter them all over the house. That's going to solve that little problem of not being able to find your reading glasses. But how do you know when a change means something just a little bit more than just aging? What is Alzheimer's disease? Well, it's the most common form of dementia, which is a general term for the loss of memory and other cognitive abilities. The majority of those with this progressive disease are over the age of 65 and often need specialized attention. People with Alzheimer's may experience memory loss and mood swings and difficulty with motor skills. What are age-related memory changes? Well, if you forget things here and there, sometimes a person's name doesn't come right to you, or you mix up the days of the week, but if you're able to eventually recall the correct information, that's age-related memory changes. Age-related changes are generally inconsistent and can be subtle. They're not usually disrupting daily life. So what can affect memory? There are plenty of other conditions and circumstances that may cause changes in memory and cognition, albeit some more serious than others. Some common conditions that may affect memory are blood clots, certain infections, some thyroid, kidney, or liver disorders, head injuries, medication side effects, and unhealthy diet. So what is the difference between Alzheimer's and age-related memory changes? Just because someone is experiencing changes in their memory does not mean that they have dementia. Remember that when memory loss prevents you from performing daily tasks, it becomes a health concern that needs to be checked out by a professional. Let's compare some Alzheimer's and age-related memory changes. So the first entry is if you forget entire experiences, that would be in the Alzheimer's column. If you forget part of an experience, that's more likely to be age-related. So Alzheimer's, gradually unable to care for self. Age-related, usually able to care for self. Alzheimer's, always has trouble with decision-making. Age-related, only momentary lapses in judgment. Alzheimer's, difficulty carrying a conversation. Age-related, mixes up spoken words on occasion. Alzheimer's, unable to find misplaced items often. If it's age-related, loses things from time to time, but eventually locates them. Dementia also has other symptoms that are not a normal part of aging. Some elements to look out for include wandering, depression, incontinence, confusion, and sleeplessness. However, remember that these symptoms can be the result of other conditions as well. Only a doctor can clearly diagnose Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. All right, well, I don't know whether that was refreshing or frightening. I had to get my back scratcher because my back is itching. I think Randy has a built-in back scratcher. Got four legs, and I hear it moving around every once in a while, but I don't have one of those, so I have to use the old-fashioned Armstrong back scratcher. Ooh, that was nice. Continuing on with our study of Alzheimer's versus age-related memory loss, here's another headline. How likely are you to get Alzheimer's if your parents had it? It says, if your parents has it. So I'm thinking the headline writer might actually be having a little problem with dementia on his or her own. But the article goes on to say, Alzheimer's disease is a type of dementia that causes problems, memory problems. Wow, this is poorly written. Alzheimer's disease, a type of dementia that causes problems. Randy's laughing his ass off. Come on now, this person might have serious mental deficiency here, Randy.
Is one of the symptoms you can't write an article?
I think that might be it. You certainly can't proofread your own stuff after you've written it.
Oh, is one of the other symptoms that you hate the term silver sneakers?
Well, that's certainly, you know, silver sneakers is a hot button for you. For me, it's senior. I do not like the word senior.
So let's get a real one going. Seniors wearing silver sneakers.
Well, there you go. That's going to irritate both of us.
Yes.
I'm with you there. So let me try to plow through this article. And Alzheimer's disease, a type of dementia that causes problems, memory problems, and cognitive decline, is a concern for many. Those who have seen their parents and grandparents suffer from the condition may be particularly concerned. Unsurprisingly, one of the many frequently asked questions regards the heredity of this disease. If your parent has Alzheimer's, does that mean that you're destined to have it also? The influence of genetics on the development of Alzheimer's disease is significant but not absolute. Some genetic variants can lead to a stronger probability of developing Alzheimer's before age 65, and sometimes even earlier. However, there is good news. 99 out of 100 cases of Alzheimer's disease are not directly inherited. Research also indicates that individuals who have a parent or sibling with Alzheimer's disease are more likely to develop the disease than those who do not have a first-degree relative with Alzheimer's. In fact, people who have first-degree relatives with Alzheimer's disease may be 4 to 10 times more likely to develop the disease themselves. Okie dokie. In some cases where a parent has confirmed diagnosis, there's a 50% chance of developing the disease. But again, more than 99% of Alzheimer's cases are not inherited. So even if a grandparent or a parent has the disease, it does not guarantee that you'll develop it. Age is another significant risk factor. Age increases the risk of developing, affecting 31%. Okay, age increases the risk of developing, affecting 31% of those older than 60 and almost 42% of those older than 85. Furthermore, some people inherit two of the genes that are responsible for Alzheimer's. The gene is APOE4. So it's capital APOE, lowercase E4. So some people inherit two of those genes, one from each parent, and that increases the risk of getting Alzheimer's disease even more. Additional risk factors may include head injury, heart disease, diabetes, strokes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, smoking, excessive drinking, and depression. The bottom line is that despite these statistics, it's important to remember that they represent potential risk factors rather than definitive outcomes. Fortunately, research continues in the field of Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia with the hope of better understanding the disease's causes and finding effective treatments. Overall, healthy aging may decrease your risk for developing Alzheimer's. So remember to drink a lot of water, eat a healthy diet, exercise regularly, and stay socially active. And remember, genetics are just one piece of the puzzle. Having a parent with Alzheimer's does not necessarily mean you will too. Okay, well, I had a grandparent with Alzheimer's, but not any parent with Alzheimer's. So, Mary's mother had Alzheimer's, but her father did not. So I'm guessing that we are probably, devoid of the genetic predisposition as we can hope to be. News of the month, Bill, without Medicare Part B shield. Oh, this is going to be an uplifting story. Oh boy. Somebody sent this to me after I found it. When I found it myself, I said to myself, I wonder if this is going to be an interesting, entertaining segment for the podcast. Will the listeners actually take heed from this warning? And then I received it from a reliable source located in the Washington, D.C. area, a person who is not happy with the way our government is being operated. And when he sends me an article, I sit up and take notice because he's a good source of information. So let's tear into this bad boy and see how it goes. The headline is, without Medicare Part B's shield, a patient's family owes $81,000 for a single air ambulance flight. So it sounds like fun to, you know, take a flight somewhere, but when it's an air ambulance and you're the patient, probably not so much. So let's tear into this and see what happens. Deborah Pritchard was a retired factory worker who was careful with her money, including what she spent on medical care, said her daughter. She was the kind of person who didn't go to the doctor for anything. Now, that ended last year when the rural Tennessee resident suffered a devastating stroke and several aneurysms. She twice was rushed from her local hospital to Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville, 79 miles away, where she was treated by brain specialists. She died October 31st at age 70. One of Pritchard's trips to Nashville, to the Nashville hospital, was via helicopter ambulance. Her daughter said she had heard such flights could be pricey, but she didn't realize how extraordinary the charge would be, or how her mother's skimping on Medicare coverage could leave the family on the hook. And then the bill arrived. The patient, Deborah Pritchard, who had Medicare Part A insurance before she died. Okay, that's not a complete sentence, but that's the way it was printed. Okay, that's who the patient is, Deborah Pritchard, who had Part A of Medicare before she died. The medical service is an air ambulance flight to Vanderbilt University Medical Center. The service provider was MedTrans Corporation, a medical transportation service that is part of Global Medical Response, an industry giant backed by private equity investors. The larger company operates in all 50 states and says it has a total of 498 helicopters and airplanes. The total bill was almost $82,000, none of which was covered by insurance. What gives? Well, this was sky-high bills from an air ambulance provider that have sparked complaints and federal action in recent years. For patients with private insurance coverage, the No Surprises Act, which went into effect in 2022, bars air ambulance companies from billing people more than they would pay if the service were considered in-network with their health insurers. For patients with public coverage, such as Medicare or Medicaid, the government sets payment rates at much lower levels than the companies actually charge. Pritchard, the patient, had opted out of the portion of Medicare that covers ambulance services. That meant that when the bill arrived less than 2 weeks after her death, her estate was expected to pay the full air ambulance fee of nearly $82,000. The main assets are 12 acres of land and her home in Deshard, Tennessee, where she had lived for 48 years and raised two children. The bill for a single helicopter ride could eat up roughly a third of the estate's value. The family's predicament stems from the complicated nature of Medicare coverage. Pritchard was enrolled only in Medicare Part A, which is free to most Americans age 65 or older. It's only free if you've paid taxes for 40 quarters or 10 years of taxable employment. And then Part A is free. Otherwise, you got to pay a premium to get Part A. Anyway, that section of the federal insurance program covers inpatient care, and it paid most of her hospital bills, her daughter said. But Pritchard had declined other Medicare coverage, including Part B, which handles such things as doctor visits, outpatient treatment, and ambulance rides. Her daughter suspects she skipped that coverage to avoid the premiums that most recipients pay, which currently are about $175 a month. A health economist for the Brookings Institute, who studies ambulance bills, that's got to be a lot of fun, estimated the maximum charge that Medicare would have allowed for Pritchard's flight would have been less than $10,000 if she had signed up for Part B of Medicare. The patient's share of that would have been less than $2,000. Medicare would have paid 80%, and either she or her supplement would have paid 20%. Her estate might have owed nothing if she had also purchased supplemental Medigap coverage, as many Medicare members do not cover things like coinsurance. Nicole Michelle, a spokesperson for the actual company, agreed with the estimate that Medicare would have limited the charge to less than $10,000. But she said the federal program's payment rates don't cover the cost of providing air ambulance services. Our patient advocacy team is actively engaged with the attorney to determine if there was any other applicable medical coverage on the date of service that we could bill to. If not, We are fully committed to working with the daughter, as we do with all of our patients, to find an equitable solution. So the resolution of this particular situation, in mid-February, the company has not offered to reduce the bill. The daughter said she and the attorney are handling her mother's estate. They both contacted the company seeking a reduction of the bill. She said that she also contacted Medicare, filled out a form on the No Surprises Act website, and filed a complaint with the Tennessee regulators who oversee ambulance services. She said she was notified February 12th that the company filed a legal claim against the estate for the entire amount. As it stands, Pritchard's estate owes about $82,000 to the Air Ambulance Company. The takeaway here is that people who are eligible for Medicare are encouraged to sign up for Part B unless they have private health insurance through an employer or a spouse. She wishes, who is she? The content curator got a little crazy with the yellow highlighter here. So in Tennessee, the SHIP, the State Health Insurance Assistance Program, the director of that program said that she wishes more seniors would discuss their health coverage options with trained counselors like hers. Counselors advise that many people with modest incomes enroll in a Medicare savings program, which can cover their Part B premiums. In 2023, Tennessee residents could qualify for such assistance if they made less than $1,660 a month as a single person or $2,200 and change as a married couple. Many people could also obtain help with other out-of-pocket expenses, such as co-pays for medical services. So the daughter of the patient who died said that the struggle over her mother's air ambulance bill makes her wonder why Medicare is split into pieces, with free coverage for inpatient care under Part A, but premiums for coverage of other crucial services under Part B. Well, the answer to that, once again, is that Medicare Part A is not free. It is paid for with taxes that the insured person has paid. And if they have paid that Medicare tax for 40 quarters during the course of their employment career, which would equate to 10 years of taxable employment, then Part A is considered to be paid for the rest of their life. If somebody has not had taxable earnings to that extent, then they can pay a premium and still have Part A of Medicare coverage. Part B of Medicare, I tell all of my clients repeatedly, Part B of Medicare is the most important part of Medicare because it is the part which you will come encounter more frequently, because it handles all the medical stuff that occurs when you're not inpatient. And that could be accidental injury, that could be illness that sends you to the emergency room or to the urgent care. It could be any number of things. It could be a dire diagnosis. I know somebody was recently diagnosed with lung cancer, and the treatment for that is all outpatient. This person is not an inpatient, and they're going to be treated through Medicare Part B, and it's probably going to be pretty darn expensive. So Medicare Part B, which you have to pay a monthly premium of $175 to this year, is critical not to ignore, not to skimp on like this woman did, and certainly to take very seriously. Because if you don't have Medicare Part B, your Medicare supplement wouldn't do a thing for you, because there would be nothing to supplement. Medicare supplement supplements Medicare. And if you don't have a big chunk of Medicare, there is nothing for your supplement to supplement. Seven things Medicare doesn't cover. Oh boy. This sounds pretty exciting. Medicare Part A and Part B leave some pretty significant gaps in your health insurance coverage, but Medicare Advantage has problems too. Medicare Part A and B, known as Original Medicare or Traditional Medicare, cover a large portion of your medical expenses after you turn 65. Well, we all know that. We can skip a few lines, a few paragraphs down to where the curator has gone crazy with the yellow highlighter again. A private plan through Medicare Advantage can offer more benefits and lower premiums, but a recent report from the Office of Inspector General found that some beneficiaries of Medicare Advantage plans are denied necessary care. Here's a closer look at what is not covered by traditional Medicare, plus information about supplemental insurance policies. Okay, the first thing is, does Medicare cover prescription drugs? No, it doesn't. You have to buy a separate Medicare drug plan, Part D of Medicare, although Medicare Advantage plans generally include coverage for drugs. But let's suppose that you have a Medicare Advantage plan that doesn't include coverage for your drugs. Well, then you've got a pretty bad Medicare Advantage plan, because it's going to cost you a lot more money just to get your medications filled. Not all Medicare Advantage plan prescription coverages are the same, and I don't know of a scientific way to make the proper selection like I do with the standalone Part D drug plans that you get when you have a Medicare supplement. My book is just, it's got two chapters about drug plan selection, and it's that's the new one that's out on the shelves now, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. It will tell you how to scientifically purchase the correct Medicare drug plan for you, depending on three factors: your location, the drugs you take, and the pharmacies where you like to shop. If you put all those three into a big bag, mix them all up, what comes out is going to be all of the available drug plans, something like 20 or 25 of them in every location, and they'll be listed in order of cheapest for you versus most expensive. So that's the short version of the selection process. So number two, does Medicare cover long-term care? No, it doesn't. Number three, does Medicare cover deductibles and co-pays? It does in some. I'm fascinated by that number two. Does Medicare cover long-term care? I'm going to read this little short article here. One of the largest potential expenses in retirement is the cost of long-term care. The median cost of a private room in a nursing home is roughly $118,000 in 2024, according to Genworth estimates cited by seniorliving.org. A room in an assisted living facility could cost $60,000, and 44 hours per week of care from a home health aide would cost $65,000 for a year. Medicare provides coverage for some skilled nursing coverages, but not for custodial care, such as help with bathing, dressing, and other activities of daily living. But you can buy a long-term care insurance or a combination of long-term care and life insurance policy to cover these costs. You can also get a long-term care rider on an annuity, which could help defray the cost of long-term care. I talked about long-term care a long time ago, and I haven't done it recently. Long-term care insurance would be fantastic if the costs weren't rising so quickly to price most people out of the market. Anyway, number three, does Medicare cover deductibles and co-pays? Medicare Part A covers hospital stays, and Part B covers doctor's services and outpatient care, but you are responsible for deductibles and co-payments. In 2024, you'll have to pay a Part A deductible of $1,632 before Part A coverage kicks in. That's for hospitalization, nursing, skilled nursing facilities, or hospice. You'll also have to pay a portion of the cost of long hospital stays, but Part B typically covers 80% of doctor's services, lab tests, and x-rays, but you'll have to pay 20% of the costs after a $240 deductible this year. A Medigap, Medicare supplement policy, or a Medicare Advantage plan can fill in the gaps if you don't have the supplemental coverage from a retiree health insurance policy. Medigap policies are sold by private insurers and come in 10 standardized versions that pick up where Medicare leaves off. If you buy a Medigap or Medicare supplement policy within 6 months of signing up for Medicare Part B, then insurers cannot reject you or charge more because of pre-existing conditions. Does Medicare cover dental care? Well, no, it doesn't cover routine dental care. Does Medicare cover routine vision care? No, it doesn't cover routine vision care. Does Medicare cover hearing aids? Medicare does not cover routine hearing exams or hearing aids, which can cost from $2,000 to $4,000 per ear. But some Medicare Advantage plans cover hearing aids and fitting exams, and some discount programs provide lower-cost hearing aids. If you save money in an HSA before you enroll in Medicare, you can also use that tax-free for hearing aids and other out-of-pocket expenses. Does Medicare cover medical care overseas? Medicare usually doesn't cover care you receive while traveling outside of the U.S., except for very, very limited circumstances, such as on a cruise ship within 6 hours of a U.S. port. Also, certain places in Canada where you're actually closer to an American hospital than you would be to a Canadian hospital. Some Medigap plans will cover 80% of the cost of emergency care abroad, up to a certain limit. Well, that limit is $250 deductible, and then the plan will pay 80% until it's paid $50,000, and that's the lifetime limit. And all of the Medicare supplement plans that I sell have that feature in them. Let's see. Now, a note about Medicare Advantage. Medicare Advantage may provide coverage for some things not covered by traditional Medicare. However, as mentioned above, an April report from the Inspector General's office recently found that some Medicare Advantage insurance providers unnecessarily denied care or payments for care that would have been provided to beneficiaries had they chosen traditional Medicare instead of Medicare Advantage. Specifically, the Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General reported that Medicare Advantage insurance providers sometimes delayed or denied patient access to services, even though the requests met Medicare coverage rules. The Advantage insurance providers likewise denied payments to providers for some services that met both Medicare coverage rules and the organization's billing rules. This could prevent or delay needed care for beneficiaries and could result in a burden on Medicare providers. The report also found that 13% of the providers denied prior authorization. The requests met the rules, making them eligible under Medicare, suggesting that they would have been approved if the beneficiaries had not chosen Advantage instead of the regular Medicare that I always recommend people choose. The report concluded that in those instances, Advantage insurance providers first used clinical criteria that are not contained in Medicare coverage rules. For example, they might require an X-ray before approving more advanced imaging. In addition, the Advantage insurance providers denied some prior authorization for care on the basis that the request did not have enough documentation to support approval. Yet the Inspector General found, our reviewers found that the existing beneficiary medical records were sufficient to support the medical necessity of the services. Often, when challenged, however, the Advantage insurance providers would reverse their decisions. So it's important for patients to be able to advocate for necessary coverage if denied. So that just summarizes what I have always said. Medicare Advantage plans have the potential to disappoint their members, and I don't like to see disappointed people, so I suggest that nobody buy a Medicare Advantage plan. Everybody is going to be better served by a Medicare supplement plan plus original Medicare. So, Randy, I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode, unless you have questions about the content.
Well, I have one tiny little rant.
Oh, please rant.
Given the fact that we were just talking about, what do I call that today? Oh, Scam Vantage.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. That's one of my favorites. Scam Vantage. One. Or the other one I really enjoy is Medicrap. Yeah. That's also one of them. But what I wanted to say is that, you know, given the fact that we were talking about Medicare Advantage plans just a few seconds ago, and one of the things that Doug brought up is that, you know, one of the stumbling blocks in this whole deal is prior authorization requirements.
Absolutely.
And I would just like to point out to you that if you want a bean counter or less, making decisions on your medical care.
By less, you mean somebody that hasn't even graduated from bean counting school yet?
Yeah, it's not even a bean counter. bottom line is there. I've actually, you know, dreamt this. I haven't seen it personally, but I've dreamt that they have absolutely got posters on their offices saying prior authorization, just say no.
Yes. Well, it's a sad fact of life that these plans feel the need to save money. It's just like in the countries that have single payer government sponsored health insurance. When they have to save money, the only way they can do it is by limiting coverage, by rationing coverage. It's the same with a government as it is with a Medicare Advantage plan. They both equally dislike you and they want you to go away. So Randy's exactly right. Stay away from those plans unless they're your only option, your only resort.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that one. So we need to land the plane. We've used up our seven, although Doug, because he's now got the 2024 book on the market, he has decided to give us a dollar's worth of airtime now instead of 75 cents.
Well, I'm waiting for the first royalty to come in.
Until then, it's still 75?
No, what am I going to do?
Okay. Well, anyway, we have used up our 75 cents worth. But before I let you go, there's a few things I always like to cover. If you want to reach out to Doug and he enjoys it, I've seen him personally standing at his mailbox with tears in his eyes if there's no mail. So reach out to him at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget, Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website. We're going to get a brand new fancy shiny one there one day. Not yet. MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. We would appreciate some reviews, especially now that the 2024 book is out, because the numbers are everything in our life. Got to tell you. And last but not least, thank you for joining us. You could have been 100 different places doing 99 different things, and you weren't. You were with us exactly where we want you. And if you weren't checking your watch, you were here for about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, originally from Oklahoma, no more in the high ground behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in his fortress of solitude. And, you know, bottom line, we're getting closer to summer. So I'm still going to be nice to him because it's a cold day. Cold to us. We call it Arizona freezing.
Yeah, we're kind of sissies.
68 degrees. We're going to put him in at 8,900 feet.
Oh boy. Randy is always taking care of me. Thank you so much. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We'll look forward to seeing your smiling faces at our next podcast episode. Bye-bye.